101.5 UMFM.
It's a radio station.
It sure is, and we are deep in the midst of our yearly pledge drive, Pledgerama.
Wow.
It's a thing where you can support your local radio station and support your local video game show.
Wow. Also, yeah. Wow. Wow. I mean, wow.
More enthusiasm, but it is fairly early in the day when this is going on. Wow. So, it's Pledgerama, and we gotta plug that support because we like when you guys listen to the stuff that we put out.
Yes.
Yes.
I believe you.
On this show, we do talk about video games, and we wouldn't be able to talk about video games to you guys without our radio station, guys. So if you want to support us, donate some money, maybe get some of them cool incentives that they got.
Yeah, you get stuff.
You do get stuff.
Like, at least you're getting stuff. Like, I'm very much like, I'll donate either if it's something to super him up with, or you get some really cool stuff.
And you do actually get some really cool stuff.
Yeah.
The one thing that comes back every single year is the Friends with Benefits card with a whole bunch of partners throughout the city that you get discounts with this card. You will get that. There is the UMFM stickers, which they have some with the new logo for this year, the new art for this year. And a really cool thing, they've got pins, enamel pins.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen them yet because they weren't ready at the meeting, but I'm going to get a set. And I'm going to display them proudly.
There's more than one?
Yeah, there's a set. There's two of them.
Okay.
There's one with the classic logo.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one with the newer logo, which they have on the screen we have here.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool.
Yeah, people at home can't see it, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, not yet. Well, if you go onto our new website, which
there
we have
go.
A new website.
New.
You can check that out. So you get these three things for $25.
That's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
And from someone who loves enamel pins, they're pricey. Like, I would say $10 to $15 for one is usually what you're looking at.
And every time they bring out these incentives, they're really good quality.
Yeah. No, I don't doubt they are.
No.
Like, yeah.
They're really good. So that is what you get for $25. If you go up to the next level, which is $50, you get the Friends with Benefits card, the stickers, the pins, and a coffee mug, guys.
Wow.
A big coffee mug. It's not a small one.
Mm-hmm.
$75, you get all of that and your choice of the 2018 UMFM pledge shirt. So $75, you get all that and a shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if you go to 101.5, so $101.50, you get the benefits card, the stickers, the pins, a coffee mug, the t-shirt or hat. You get a choice in this one.
So everything and a hat.
And we have a partner that makes hot sauce. They have a hot Saskatoon hot sauce.
If you like hot sauce.
Before we leave, I'm trying it because they have the testers out there.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it's got some kick.
Cool.
For $150, you get the benefits
everything
card.
Everything but, and?
The stickers, pins, mug, hot sauce, the shirt, your choice of UMFM pledge t-shirt, hat, and one entry into the golden ticket draws. And there's seven of those to be won. So with the golden ticket draws, you get Folkfest tickets. Usually there's other event tickets out there that you can get. You get access to shows that are really, really cool.
Cool.
Really, really good.
So pledge. Go to the website and pledge. That's our long 4-minute shilling for this.
There is one more level, guys.
Oh.
$250. Gets you two of all of these.
Oh, wow.
And three entries into the golden ticket draw. And the UMFM hoodie.
Wow.
Yeah. So go support us,
a lot
guys.
Of swag if you like it.
So call 204-474-6610 if you want to support our shows and support our really awesome radio station.
Or check out the website at umfm.com/donate. Once again, new website. It's going to be so fancy.
It's so fancy, you guys. It's going to be it's so good.
Slash up to date for this year. How about that? It's maybe not even fancy. It's just up to date.
It is. Yes, they did a lot of work on it.
Yeah.
And last year's pledge went to go and support the creation of the new one.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of stuff we want to do this year as well. So keep supporting us. And that was our shill. Now we get to actually do what we do here, and that's talk about video games.
Yeah.
So
now, I'm back now.
You are back now.
Yep.
Okay. So what have you been playing and what have you been interested in the last week?
Well, here's a thing I haven't been interested in, which is making your game devs work 100-hour weeks and then saying that like it's a good thing. So once again, we're going to do some calling out bad game dev shenanigans. And
cool.
Megan doesn't know about this.
Not yet.
Because it just happened this morning,
oh,
I think.
Boy.
Yeah. So most people are excited for Red Dead Redemption 2, which is understandable because it did pretty well. Like, once again, we're going to go into me and I'm in my humble onion. It was okay. It got boring after I got to Mexico and I was like, I do the
How
same
many
thing.
How many hours did you put into it, though?
A lot. Like, at least 40. Like, at least 40. So, like, I played a bunch.
40 hours of entertainment.
Yeah, sure. Like, I'm not saying that this one won't have entertainment. But here's the thing. It shouldn't come at the cost of people's well-being. Like, 100 hours in a week is 4 solid days. That's so... But, obviously, I'm going to say that these people don't work 4 solid days because I think they would die.
That's essentially 2 full-time jobs plus...
Yeah, plus, like, you have lives, maybe?
Not when you're making Red Dead Redemption, apparently.
Well, and it's just, so here's the thing. I think crunch is bad, and I think that gamers need to, game devs need to unionize hardcore because stuff like this is bad. And and people are being like, oh, but it's, you know, so proud of these guys. They work, you know, 100-hour weeks, and we get this game out, and it was, here's the thing. You could have paid more people, or got more people, paid them, like, not as much for 100 hours, which I assume these people are salaried. They're not by hour, which is why they are forced, or not forced, but they're, you know, it's like heavily encouraged.
Voluntold, right? Is the term that I
yes,
have been
yes,
told.
Yes, exactly. You volunteer time. And once again, it's seen as a good thing. But here's the thing, guys. It's bad. Like, it's not something that should be celebrated or be like, yeah, I pulled 4 all-nighters to get this game done. That's bad, guys.
You start hallucinating after the first 72.
Yeah. Well, these people aren't actually working back-to-back for, like...
That's still minimal hours to sleep.
Oh, exactly.
And eat and bathe and to tell your family
that
you exist.
That you love them.
Not even so much that you love them.
Tell my family,
so much...
hello.
Thank you.
Yeah. But yeah, so like once again, people are excited for Red Dead. I think it's fine. I just think that we shouldn't be celebrating stuff like that. Like, once again, people should be able to see their families and be paid a livable wage, and video games should come out. Like, that, those two things don't have to be like opposite. Like, we don't have to have one or the other. We can have both. Guys. I'm just saying, guys, please, after that Telltale shenanigans, like, Rockstar's pretty big. They're a pretty big company.
They do multi-million dollar titles.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, they can afford to, you know, hire more people so that people don't have to stay overnight at their jobs. Like, that's not good. Like, in this is not good. Not good mentally, physically. And in the end, like, people are just, like, they're not very sympathetic towards game devs who go through this, right? There's still people who are from Telltale, don't have any insurance. Like, they, you know, there's people who are almost out of their medications. And because they were very not nicely let go with nothing.
If you have a game dev in your life, someone who works on games or does this sort of stuff, tell them you love them and make them have a day off.
Yeah, just, yeah. Like, taking
hug
breaks.
Your local game
hug
dev.
Yeah. It's just, it is something that, once again, I'm pretty in pro favor of unionizing game development just for the fact that people should not be working 100-hour weeks. Like, that's ridiculous. Yeah. But anyways, yes, it was a little bit of a tangent, but I guess we got to talk about the gamer news, because this is a big old thing that popped up.
It's the same song and dance that we've seen before.
And once again, maybe the one thing that I'm more mad about is the fact that I think the CEO or whoever said it was like, you know, it was like a celebratory, it was a good thing. It was like a thing to be proud of.
And that feeds into a very toxic mindset that we do see, is that you spend so much time working and therefore you're a harder worker and therefore deserve more. And it's then, not how that should work.
No, everybody, you should be happy where you work and not freaking out that, you know, your game or that you're not going to get your health insurance next month or something.
Yeah. And this shouldn't be just for game development. It should be in all careers, but especially in game development is what our specialty is in.
Well, yeah, and just because I would say, so, like, considering things like actors and writers and certain artists, like, I won't say all art, but, like, they do have unions. Like, and they had to push, they had to fight for those. And unfortunately, I think we'll have to see game developers fight for this because at this time, like, they're making things that, people buy video games all the time. People buy systems all the time. Like, video games are a big thing now. Like, it's not like, you know, somebody playing Nintendo and you make fun of them because they're the only kid in the class or whatever, right? The Nintendo nerd or whatever. But everybody plays video games to some extent, usually, mostly. This is a generalization.
This doesn't have to be necessarily on consoles. It could be PC games and it could be
your phone
games. Yes.
Like, I play games on my phone that are considered, quote, games, not like... Not
they still take development teams, guys.
Fine. Yeah.
Still takes coding and developing.
For sure. I'm not...
And art.
Sure. Sure, Megan. No, you're not wrong.
I'm not wrong.
I just love me a Bejeweled. That's... yeah. No.
Hey, that Bejeweled Blitz, I have held that high score...
For never...
No, I'm pretty good at it.
I'm proud of you.
I'm glad you are.
But yeah.
I'm a hardcore gamer, you guys.
Yeah, well, okay, so let's segue this way. Because video games, yeah, you can have them on your phone. You can have them on your computer, on your console. But also, you can have them on your iPad, if you have one.
So
I know, that's a little... But these games are also, I'm pretty sure, PC. Actually, they are PC. Because I played them on PC first before I actually got them on the iPad.
So this game that we're going to talk about,
first.
Or the one,
we'll talk about the spooky one. Yeah. Yeah, they're both spooky.
Yeah, they're both, yeah. Okay, so I finally played a game that not just you, but other people have recommended to me repeatedly and
hilarious.
Told me that I would enjoy. And because
it's funny because the only reason I thought you would like it is because it's like Scandinavian myth.
It is really deep into the Scandinavian myth.
Yeah.
Like, it's real deep into it.
It's a game. This originally was for the iPad, in fact. I originally played it on the PC, though, so there are some differences just in the mechanics because of how the iPad works. Like,
yeah.
They specifically have utilized certain things in the iPad to make their game more interactive.
And it's really, really cool interactivity, I'm finding. Even this game came out in 2013, so it is a few years old now.
It's pretty old, like for a iPad game, I'll say, right?
And it's still highly enjoyable. It's available on Steam as well if you do not have
access to Mac
products. So I have the Year Walk now. I have finally played it. I have finally enjoyed it. And I have gotten scared by it.
It's spooky.
It's very spooky.
I'll just quickly summarize what a Year Walk is. It's basically a myth where you walk around at night, all night on New Year's Eve. You will be able to see a glimpse of your future. Possibly. Possibly. But also bad things might happen. But also, yeah.
If you are desperate enough to find out what the future holds,
you may go
on this walk. The Árgang.
Yeah. It's very cool. Like, and so in this, it's very simple. Like, it's basically you're a woods cutter man, and you have a lady that you like, and she's kind of like,
I have to give my answer to the person that has asked for my hand. I told him a year, and it's a year now.
Oh, yeah.
Don't go and do this walk.
Don't do the walk.
It happened. My cousin went on this walk, too, and we all remember what happened to him.
What happened?
It never actually
says.
Yeah,
right? That's the thing. It doesn't. It just says something. It's bad. It's weird. But I think this game actually, like, I don't know if the Year Walk itself, but it has some, I don't know, meta stuff. Like, it also has stuff that's involved with, I want to say, the creators of the game. Like, there is sort of a, what is that called? Viral marketing stuff kind of thing? What is it called? When there's, like, stuff before, stuff after. Like, it's not necessarily within the game. It's, like, the website,
Supplemental?
That I guess so, but it's a little bit like there's a little extra part that you can figure out yourself, but...
Night in the Woods did that, too.
What do you mean?
They had some stuff before they released the full game.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not talking... This isn't a game, though. This is just purely, like, it's, like, information.
Ah.
Like, I think primarily it's even, like, almost a little story about how the game dev sort of came up with it, but also it's, like, fake... So it's kind of like spooky, like, ooh, you know, but I love stuff like that. I love to be immersed within a game and even outside the game, like even to the dev, right? The dev knows what's going on or the dev has something. But
now what I really, really, really enjoyed about this game is the mythology that they have in it because it now my area of expertise is more on the Icelandic side. And now we've got the Swedish side here. Very similar, different, but similar.
I think
but
it's
different.
It's they're specific. This one's specifically, quote unquote, Scandinavian. Like, it's not Icelandic.
No.
It's just.
The developers are from Scandinavia. I mean, Sweden.
Yes.
Not general Scandinavia.
General,
but,
just
but
that area somewhere.
So.
Somewhere. But yeah, like, and it does take from mythology.
Yes.
Which, and I don't. You don't see these a lot.
No.
Like, a little bit, because I would say there are. More and more Swedish game devs, I feel.
But,
yeah.
This makes sense to me because there are specific nights that you are not supposed to leave your home, like specific holidays, because the hidden folk come out.
Yeah.
So, Christmas Day is one. I guess New Year's is another.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few other separate nights that are set aside where you're just not supposed to go out and interact with anything outside of your home because you could run into...
Spooks.
Yeah. So this is no different. You're running into creatures of mythology and folklore that don't mean you very well if you come across them.
Kind of, yeah, like in these ones, I don't know if they're supposed to harm you rather than just creep you out and make you worried. Like, in this game, there isn't anything that kills you.
No,
you can't die. Like, you can't die. It is spooky. It's atmospheric as heck. Like... The music, and there's a good snow crunch. Like, you don't ever see your character, which is really neat. And it's just sort of the swiping on your screen or the left and right. But, despite the sort of limitations of the graphics, which are actually really good in general, like, they look nice.
Very picture book-like.
Yeah, but terrifying.
Yes.
Yeah. The style of this game is good. I like most things about this game. Like, it's... Low on the scare zone. Like, it's pretty creepy. It's atmospheric. So that creeps me out. But it doesn't, like, it jump scares me a little bit. It does. It does do
yes.
that.
Well, I think you were playing it last week as well. And there was a couple times where you did your jump and scream thing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's just the spooks, guys. I get startled easily. And this has a couple of little, like, blah, blah. And, of course, I'm like, oh, dear. Well, I'm dead now. But, yeah, it keeps it kind of low-key with the horror. It's just, like, visually, like, weird-looking. Like, there's, you know, the horse in the water.
Yeah.
And he's in a suit. And it's very creepy because you kind of have to drag his head out of the water, right?
Yes.
And, like, I remember seeing that. And it's just, like, he doesn't do anything to you. Like, he doesn't attack you. He doesn't talk to you. He's just there. And it's creepy. Like,
you think he's going to do something.
He's just there.
He's
he wants you to find these unfortunately dead babies. Dead baby ghosts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smilings.
Yeah. And yeah, so there's several different spooky Scandinavian, Swedish, Icelandic.
There's the
smushed
graveyard
in there.
Guardian. They have the Grim.
Church Grim. Yeah.
The Church Grim, which is
super
odd that it's
cool.
A goat, but because anywhere else it'd be either a cat or a dog.
True, but I think it's specifically in this.
Yeah,
in Sweden, it's a goat, which is really interesting because it also sort of has like weird, almost satanic connotations because people like to associate goats with. And in this Church Grim, he's almost like a man with a goat head. Like you don't. That's sort of maybe more why, like, it's just a goat head versus, like, if it was a dog head.
So before we go on to the next
anyway.
Game, I just want to make a comment on the puzzles. The puzzles are really cool, but they are also very frustrating. I found a few of them to be very hard because you had to listen to them. There's one, listen to
the Hulger one? Did you find that hard?
I did because...
I didn't.
Yeah, but I also don't have good short-term memory for this stuff either, where it was left, right, both, left, right, both.
Talking about that. No, I was talking about when you go in with the sound.
Oh, after in the sound, yes. That one was also a bit frustrating because I don't think I've got good pitch, which is why I don't do a music show.
There we go.
I don't
We know now the reason, everyone.
I really like music. I can't make or perform music.
Megan, tap. But yeah, I agree that some of them are a little frustrating, and I don't know if on my first try I used a walkthrough, but I definitely did for some of it because there's that one point where you have to turn a house around in certain directions several times, and it's just like, I don't know where I'm supposed to know that.
And if you get it wrong, you go right to the very beginning. And these aren't short, easy puzzles. These are puzzles that you...
Kind of. Like, I would say they're pretty short, though. Like, there's no long puzzle.
No, well...
There's no puzzle...
If you get stuck on one, have to start from the beginning.
Well, I would say that's a fault on someone else and not the game, Megan.
Anyway, what did you play?
So, I've also been playing some tappity games on my iPad. And I don't know how I found these. I just was looking at the iPad games, and I'm like, what is here for me? And I found these. They're called the Cube Escape games. And I really like them at first because they're free. And I love me a free video game, guys. But they're very simple. Like, these ones are really nice and simple. They're... I want to say the drawings aren't, like, the most amazing in the world. Like, the art is the most amazing, but it works really well for it because it's almost a clip arty style. Almost. But it basically, you're in a cube, kind of. Like, you have your five different sides sort of thing. Six, I guess. But in this one, it's five because you have to have you in a spot, right?
Right.
So you basically... It's just puzzles, and you have to figure it out. I will say the first couple cube games are kind of annoying because they don't have any hints, and they just sort of, like, suffer.
Figure it out.
And then some of it is just, like, it doesn't tell you anything. Like, it's just, like, you have there's numbers somewhere that you're supposed to get from something. And I'm like, okay, well, guess I'll never know. But... So as I went through these, I found that they sort of have another, they have a whole bunch, like I want to say like 10 of maybe, well, not 10 of the Escape Cube, but 10 games in total. And they're like called the Rusty Lake. And I just started playing them. Well, I played through a couple, but the one that I started playing was Rusty Lake Roots. And basically the story is kind of. It's really interesting because Rusty Lake Roots starts at sort of the beginning of all this, whereas most of the other little games start at, like, it starts in the present. It also has some, like, it has video aspects that the people have made as well. Yeah. And, like, this Rusty Lake Roots sort of takes you back to, basically, there's these two guys, and they are trying to create a... what is it? Invisibility potion? Whatever of life?
Elixir of life?
There we go. I was like, it's something with life.
I'm not invisibility, but yes.
Elixir of, yeah. But to make this, they have to have at least 10 family members utilized with their body parts. So you need like an eye, a heart, tongue, etc., right? And sort of it goes through the timeline, like literally the family tree of these people and sort of their lives as they go through and sort of the things that change them or how it works. And even to the, they don't really know, like these people don't know that they are being used for.
No.
Yeah, no, they don't know. They just are a part of this family, right?
Mm-hmm.
And... There's just a bunch, and every sort of character has a different puzzle or a different little box. Like, I guess the box it's less of a box now, and it's more like a slidey side-to-side sort of thing.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but the puzzles are fantastic. Like, they are fun. usually I can get a good amount of them before I'm like, oh no, I just, this is, I don't know where this goes, but like it's interesting. It has some spooks. Like there's some malevolent force in this. Obviously it's not great with, you know, these two guys gonna use up all their families. I'm gonna grind your bones to make my elixir. But they're really fairly cheap. Like I think they're like $5.99 each. I haven't beat all of them, but it's really neat because then this sort of family tree stuff, it goes on to the present now. And it sort of deals with a detective and there's been a murder and it deals with that sort of stuff. So
it sounds actually really cool.
It is. And then sort of now we're trying to figure out now, like, where does this part lead with this magical elixir? Because it is all connected. And then there's another one I haven't played called Rusty Lake Paradise or Hotel. There's one, and they all have animal heads, which I'm pretty excited about because I'm like, ooh, fun.
Spooky.
Yeah, well, yeah. But they're all kind of creepy. They're interesting. I really like the world building in this. Like,
yeah.
They've set up, you know, like they have like a mental health hospital thing. You know, like there's a bunch of little things. They have a bunch of case files. Yeah. Like,
so it's got lots of supplemental material as well.
Yeah, it does. And I would say most of the supplemental material, I'd say, is inside the game. And it does, you know, it wants you to try and look at some of it's just there for filler. Like, there's this one thing where you have to look through a bunch of people, but they're mostly game devs, I think. Or actually, they might have been people who pledged or kickstarted it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, which is really neat. Once I would have if I had known this game existed at the time, but I didn't.
That leads us to the end of our show. And speaking of pledging,
you should pledge some money.
You should. So remember, it's 204-474-6610 if you want to donate.
Or check out the website because people, we love to use the internet to pay for things now.
We do. umfm.com/donate. You can see how close we are to reaching our goal, which is 36,000.
Yeah.
This year.
Well, I think we made it our goal last year and
we
got
before,
a fancy
too.
New website. So I think even if we don't make our goal or at least get close to it, like we're going to be happy and we appreciate it.
We appreciate all of you guys helping us out and supporting us through the years and
yeah. Even listening.
And listening, yes.
Even yelling at us about video games. That's still fun.
Yeah.
It's still support in a way.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I appreciate you.
All right, everybody. Keep slacking and
stay cool, I guess.
And warm. It's cool.
And pledge.
All right. Keep slacking.
Bye.